Matthew chapter 5, if you would, please. Appreciate the men who will be filling in while I'm gone. Pastor Shred will be preaching tonight. Bob Christensen Wednesday night. Pastor Caleb all next week, and then Ray Workman the following Wednesday. We, Lord willing, will be back the following Wednesday. Our plane lands at 5. Time we clear customs and all that, we may slip into the service there. Not guaranteeing how we'll look, but we may be able to do that. Matthew chapter number 5. And verse 7 this morning. The Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." In Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice, we see the portray the two conflicting elements of mercy and justice. Justice is represented by Shylock, the Jew, who demands his pound of flesh. Portier is the champion of mercy, trying to dissuade him from his cruel pursuit of justice. When Shylock asks for a good reason why justice should not be done, he replies, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven. Upon the place beneath it is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes." She goes on to say that mercy is above the sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the heart of kings. It is an attribute of God Himself. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." This morning, I'd like for us to see simply this. In order to show mercy, we must receive mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And we pray this morning that the truth that your word communicates will meet the needs of each individual. You know the burdens of every heart. You know exactly what needs to be met this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would do so. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We had, as I said earlier, an interesting week. One of the problems of the week is Thursday sometime. Actually, it started on Wednesday a little bit, but my computer crashed, at least large portions of it. And so on the back of your bulletin, there's the sermon notes, but it's missing a couple of points. So if you'll bear with us, you can fill in the blanks and then just start writing. That would be nice to be able to do this morning. But number one this morning, I'd like for us to look at the definition of mercy. What exactly does this mean? Well, it's pretty simple. Most of you could probably define it. It means to have mercy on or to help one afflicted or that's seeking help or seeking aid, to bring help to the wretched or to experience mercy, all wrapped up in the word mercy. Fitch in his The Beatitudes of Jesus says it does not mean feeling pity. It means a great desire to do something for the one for whom you are sorry. It goes well beyond just feeling pity. Vincent's Word Study says the word emphasizes the misery with which grace deals. Hence, the sense of human wretchedness coupled with the impulse to relieve it, which issues in gracious ministry. When we demonstrate mercy to someone, we are genuinely ministering to their heart. Gives the idea of a compassionate or a kindly forbearance shown towards an offender, an enemy, or a person in one's power to do something else. It's compassion, benevolence. We understand that from our relationship with God. God has the power to do anything He wants with us. And yet, He imparts mercy to us. What an incredible truth that is. And that alone is worth us, as our Sunday school teacher aptly pointed out this morning, celebration. To think of all that God has done for us. And He says in this passage, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We've walked through each one of these, and we've seen each time that wrapped up in the quality itself is the idea that we can't accomplish this without first coming to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond just us experiencing the mercy of God, but to us giving that mercy to others. My wife and I were reading yesterday. I read an amazing story. Man hired a lady in his company, a lady that he trusted, to run his books and so forth. He owned the swimming pool company and was very successful. In a matter of 6 weeks, this lady embezzled from him $120,000. Left him destitute. And it took him 3 years to dig out of the hole that she left him. And as he began to deal with this person, and God began to deal with his own heart, he didn't see her again until his father's funeral some 3 years later. And she came up to him there at the funeral and said, "Will you forgive me?" And he said, "Yes, I'll forgive you." But when he turned to walk away, he said, inside of me, it was screaming, "No, you have not yet forgiven her." A few months later, I don't remember the exact time frame, the lady had the audacity to call him and ask him for $600 to help pay her rent. Now, I can't believe she'd actually have the guts to do that after embezzling $120,000, but nevertheless. And he told her flatly, no, and hung up the phone. And again, the Spirit of God began to say, whoa, wait a minute, I thought you forgave her. Well, it's one thing to forgive, it's another thing to pay her rent, right? I mean, come on, let's be real here. His father had taught him that just periodically to take $20 bills and $10 bills and leave them in your coat and things like that, just kind of as a reserve fund. And so finally, after a couple of hours, he thought, okay, all right, fine, I'll go collect the money. Collected all the money in his pockets. I checked my jackets this morning, there's nothing there. But I guess you have to actually put it there for it to be there. But anyway, and the total came up to $620. So went to Western Union, and you won't be surprised to know the wire fee was $20. And so he sent the money to her and went back home. In just a few minutes, his attorney called him, and he had been waiting for this call because it was a judgment coming to him from the IRS about all the problems that he'd had over this 3 years. And so when he picked up the phone, he said to his attorney, or it was his attorney or CPA, I can't remember which one, but he said to him, "Just give me the bad news and hang up. I don't feel like dealing with this today." And the guy started laughing. And he said, "What are you laughing for?" He goes, "Actually, when everything is said and done, the IRS owes you a refund." He said, "A refund?" He said, "Yeah. It's $6,200, 10 times the amount he had just given away." And he learned not only forgiveness, but what mercy means. When you have the power to do something to someone and you choose to respond the way God would have us to respond, the definition of mercy. But also see number two, the desire for mercy. The desire for mercy. The Bible tells us, first off, that it can only be extended to those who desire it. Notice what the Word of God says, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He repeats that phrase in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 7. "But if ye had known that what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless." You say, "Well, Pastor, what does that phrase mean? What is he talking about when Jesus says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice?" One author said this way, "The sanctuary was the scene of endless ritual sacrifice. It was constant. And most of the Jews came to that time not because they really wanted to worship God, but because they wanted to get their ritual over with. The Lord now swept aside the ritualistic law, if you will, in an anticipatory statement founded on an Old Testament insight." Now follow this. Referring the Pharisees to Hosea 6 and verse 6, he dismissed centuries of erroneous rabbinical teaching and tradition. If ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you'd have not condemned the guiltless. The rabbis had made the Sabbath a burden instead of a blessing. It became so enormous for the people to carry. They had heartlessly heaped on the long-suffering people who were mostly wholly dependent on them for Bible teaching. 1,000 requirements over and above the law. They just kept piling them on. Content, now get this, content with the outward form, the rabbis had conveyed false ideas about God. Their God was meticulous and a stickler for details. But the true God, the one who instituted the Sabbath, the one who provided the sacrificial system, once abode in that very sanctuary, was a merciful God. But they had missed that. Jesus reminded them of the words in Hosea 6:6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That is, it's an inward spiritual vitality, not a mere external formality. You bring me sacrifice as though I had some need for them, God says. Like, I need the sacrifice? What I want to show you is mercy. Go, learn the heart of God, and I will show why I sit with publicans and sinners. Which was the context of why he said that to begin with. In other words, God wants to demonstrate mercy, but he can only do it to those who desire it. He can't help anyone who doesn't desire that mercy being imparted to them. Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried out the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Can you imagine having some physical ailment? We've this week been going through issues with my wife, and all the doctors won't listen to us, and we won't even go into that this morning because I'm preaching, right? We don't want to get mad at the doctors. But it would be great. I mean, if we knew Jesus would pass by, I can tell you both of us would be yelling. And you could do all you want to try to shut us up, but we would be getting some help from him. That's what these guys were saying. And what did they say? Have mercy on us. They desired it. But number two, it will not always be extended. It will not always be extended. Luke 16:24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham. Luke 16 is the passage of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man woke up in hell and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus, the poor, nasty beggar that I didn't pay attention to at my gate, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What was the answer? No mercy. No mercy. It was too late for the mercy of God to be extended. So it will not always be extended. Number three, it can be obtained by prayer. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now just a few facts about mercy. Do you desire for mercy in your life? Do you desire it for your salvation? If you do not know Christ as your Savior, can I tell you, Jesus Christ wants to cleanse you from your sin, but he can't heal anybody who doesn't think they're sick. That's why he said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that be whole need not a physician. Do you desire mercy? What about daily? Because as each one of these has unfolded, it's not just about your position, your salvation, but it's about your progression, that sanctification, the daily living. Do you want the mercy of God demonstrated in your life day by day? Well, I sure do. Let's look at number three. From where did mercy derive, or the deprivation of mercy? the source from which it's come. Well, we know that, don't we? A number of authors, Finch in his book, The Beatitudes of Jesus, said, God is merciful, consequently the children of God must be merciful. Ever and always, the story of the Christian man is the story of the mercy of God. E. Stanley Jones says, nothing is more beautiful than a countenance of righteousness when there glistens upon it the tear of mercy. The voice of Sinai saying, thou shalt not, must be tempered by the voice of Calvary saying, Father, forgive them. I love Micah 7:8. We've been going through the Minor Prophets on Wednesday night. Many of you missed that series. But just a few weeks ago, we talked about Micah 7 and verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. He takes pleasure in it. He's pleased to do it. Who's a God like that? Ephesians 4 and verse 2. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, abounding, abundantly supplied in mercy. Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Five times the word mercy is mentioned in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 78. Now, I want you to think for a minute. 46 starts Mary's Magnificat, where she talks about what God has done by allowing her to bear the Messiah. It concludes with Zacharias talking about John the Baptist. And five times in that passage, those people talk about the mercy of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Have you experienced the mercy of God? It comes from him. Praise the Lord for that. I want us to see, number four, the demand for mercy. The demand for mercy. If you don't ever intend to need any mercy, don't show any. Does that sound familiar? Brother Farrell said that last Sunday night. I leaned over to my wife and said, he better watch it. I'm preaching on that next Sunday morning. That was a powerful statement. If you don't ever intend to need any mercy, don't show any. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I really don't like it when a preacher says this, but I'm going to say it this morning. If you don't listen to anything else I say, listen to this. Because really, you should be listening to everything, right? But this is so important. Most righteous people are not merciful towards the failings and shortcomings of others. Did you get that? Most righteous people are not merciful towards the failings and shortcomings of others. Their very passion for righteousness makes them hard. Righteousness unmodified by mercy is hard, unloving, pharisaical, and a sour thing. Let's let that sink in. But see, so many times we can be righteous without the mercy of God. That's what the Pharisees were. John Phillips says, he who shows no mercy destroys the bridge over which he himself must pass. Mercy is an element of true righteousness. It was lacking in the Pharisaical righteousness of Jesus' day. It needed much to be inculcated in Christ's time, when sympathy was killed by the theory that all suffering was penalty of some special sin. A theory which fostered a pitiless type of righteousness. It would cause the disciples to ask such a dumb question as, Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? How do you sin before you're ever born? What kind of sin did he commit that he would be born blind as a result of that? But it was that mentality. The demand of mercy. James chapter 2 and verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. The context of James chapter 2 is, you want to live by the law? I'm going to tell you what kind of law is. No mercy. The law had a strict, that's what it is. No questions asked. That's why a man would die. At 2 to 3 witnesses. Zero mercy. That's why the Pharisees would bring the woman taken in the adultery. The very act, they said. Though the last time I checked, it takes 2 to do that. They forgot somebody if they wanted to be stoning people. Jesus did not commend her for sinning, but he demonstrated mercy and then said, go and sin no more. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we received mercy, we faint not. What ministry? If you look at the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it is the mercy of bringing people back to God, lifting the veil that's on their hearts so that they could see the truth of God. And he says, we have this mercy. Why? Because we've received mercy. Therefore, it makes natural sense that we would communicate mercy, those of us who have received it. Without mercy, you are demonstrating a Pharisaical righteousness rather than a true righteousness. What kind of righteousness do you have? Number 5. We see the demonstration of mercy. I wish today we could take the time to look at mercy throughout the Word of God. I basically did not touch it in the Old Testament. There is a host of things that could be said from the Old Testament. But one commentator made this statement, the merciful extend mercy to others, thus demonstrating God's mercy which has been extended to them. 4 things I want us to see about the demonstration of mercy quickly this morning. Number 1, Jesus calls it weighty. Jesus calls it weighty. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. What are those? Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done. You should have paid tithes on those things and not to have left the others undone. You missed the boat, Pharisees. You only got part of it right. You're taking care of the outward actions. You know how to pay your tithes. That's great. But you miss the weightier matters of the law. Jesus calls it weighty. We are to heed his warning when he puts an emphasis on it. But number 2, it's a sign of godly wisdom. James chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So the wisdom that's from above, one of its characteristics is that it's full of mercy. Well, that would make sense since that's what kind of God we serve. A God full of mercy. But number 3, you must be willing to demonstrate mercy. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. This is a list of spiritual gifts that God gives. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. That word means a readiness of mind or without reluctance. So in other words, we should communicate mercy, not begrudgingly, not with, I don't know, but it ought to be immediate to demonstrate mercy. And lastly, it must be to the weakened. It must be to the weakened. Luke chapter 10, if you would please. Luke chapter 10. You're familiar with this story. Let's look at it quickly. Luke chapter 10. We'll pick up in verse 25 to get the context. Luke 10 and verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The main two thoughts flowing in all the other commandments. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Keep the commandments. Go ahead. And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And then Jesus answers him. He's not going to like the answer. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Well, a priest should know better, right? And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. He should know better. But a certain Samaritan, I can't believe he even called that name. You remember what the Jews thought about Samaritans, right? They hated them. They would walk extra miles to not even pass through their country. Don't you love how Jesus just immediately puts his finger on problem areas? Like, poof, right there. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So not only is he using the word Samaritan, but now he's talking about this guy in a good light. I can imagine the people sitting around gasping about this point. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come, I will repay thee. I'm going to take care of everything this guy needs, including his financial needs. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Now what's he going to say? I love it when Jesus asks questions like that. Jesus, by what authority do you do this? Well, you tell me, John the Baptist, was he of God or was he of man? If we say of man, we're liable to get stoned. If we say of God, he's going to ask us, how come we didn't listen to him? We can't answer that question. I'm not going to answer your question. I love it. It's great. So which one do you think? Notice what this guy says. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. We don't demonstrate mercy to someone who doesn't need it. You're not demonstrating mercy to give a meal to a person who already has plenty of food. You're not demonstrating mercy to someone by forgiving them if they haven't really done anything against you. Mercy comes in when you have the power over that person and yet you demonstrate the godlike characteristic to them. You say, Pastor, that's easier said than done. I will agree with that. But do you want mercy? Do you want people to be merciful to you? Do you want God to be merciful to you? Are you demonstrating mercy to your neighbors? Who is my neighbor? Don't forget this story. That person that you despise, that person you would rather walk on the other side of the street instead of greet them or interact with them or feed them a meal or help pay their rent. Lord knows how to just take it and put it right down at the bottom, doesn't he? 1757, a pastor and hymnist, Robert Robinson, penned the words to this hymn at age 22. It is by far my favorite hymn. Listen to the first verse. I'm quoting it, not singing it, so you can relax, all right? Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it is convicting. We come to each one of these Beatitudes and we realize that is impossible apart from the Spirit of God working in our hearts. Oh Lord, would you help me to be merciful? Help me, Lord, not to have a Pharisaical righteousness, but a true righteousness which is tempered with mercy. May I respond to people the way you respond to them. Would your Spirit work in hearts and lives this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just ask you, have you experienced the mercy of God? Has there come a point in your life when you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven because the mercy of God has demonstrated to you? You know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You'd say, Pastor, that's settled. I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I've experienced the mercy of God. Praise the Lord for that. Would you slip up your hand? I know that. Already settled. No problem about it. Wonderful. Thank you for that. Maybe there's someone here who said, I've never experienced the mercy of God. Oh, how God would love to impart that to you today. And you cannot genuinely demonstrate mercy to others until you accept His mercy. Would you this morning? I would not embarrass you by any means, but you'd say, Pastor, could you pray for me? I'd love to do that. I have not experienced the mercy of God, but I'd like to. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? I'd love to pray for you, just quickly. I did not experience the mercy of God, but I'd like to. Anyone like that? Secondly, Christian, have you been demonstrating mercy to your neighbor? You can fill the blank in who that is. You know who it is. Have you been demonstrating mercy? Has God convicted you this morning about areas in your life in which mercy was not demonstrated? Maybe you didn't say anything publicly, but you felt it internally. Boy, that person. And God specifically touched your heart this morning right there. That's an area that I need to demonstrate the mercy of God. Lord, thank you that you give us the word that can challenge our hearts. I need this kind of challenge myself. May we demonstrate mercy. May these respond to you this morning. We thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.